This is lesson number 4 in our series of 6 broken vessels, how God uses imperfect people. As I mentioned the last 3 weeks, all mankind, all of us, are fragile. We are easily broken, and brokenness is universal. Every single one of us have suffered times of brokenness in our life. But in those times of brokenness, we have discovered and we have found that God is able, that God is faithful, that He can redeem us, He can heal us, and He can use us, and He wants to use us. He wants to use us in spite of our brokenness, and He wants us, again, to use us to be an encouragement to others that are broken. And again, the lesson this morning is probably the most direct lesson of the 6 that deals with the theme of how God wants to use us to help other people. So just a quick reminder, the first lesson was about Peter. Fresh start. We fail, God, Jesus restores. Second lesson was about Moses. Objections overruled. God will work through us in spite of our shortcomings. Last week, we had our first lesson of 3 that will deal with the Apostle Paul. And we talked about the gift of grace. God's grace allows me to face anything that comes into my life. And then this morning, second lesson about Paul, a channel of comfort. I can be a channel of God's comfort to others. Now, again, no one is immune to trouble. No one wants hardships to come into our lives. I mean, we don't pick them, but they come. Sometimes they come like bananas. They come in bunches. And it's in those times that we realize that God never abandons His children. God never leaves us or forsakes us. And again, we oftentimes enjoy the presence of God more and feel closer to God. And He makes His presence known to us more during those times of trouble. And again, when we've walked through the seasons of hardness in our life, then we learn. And then we can walk with others that are going through those same hardships. We can be an encouragement to them. So, 3 parts to the lesson this morning. God is the source of comfort. Number 1, God's the source of comfort. Number 2, we are called to be channels of comfort. And then number 3, we can use the difficulties that we have to comfort others. We are in 2 Corinthians this morning, chapter 1. Let me just give you a little reminder from last week. Paul wrote the book of 2 Corinthians from Macedonia. He wrote it about AD 56. He wrote it to the church at Corinth. He wrote it in response to false teachers that had come into the church, and as they promoted themselves, they tore down Paul. They said, look, here's what they said. Hey, you see all this stuff that's going, that Paul's going through? You see all the hardships and trials that have come into his life? If he was truly an apostle of God, God would not allow those things to come into his life. And so they questioned his apostleship. They questioned the authority that he had as an apostle. And so Paul wrote one of the reasons he wrote the book of 2 Corinthians was to defend himself from these attacks and to warn the church about the heresy that these false teachers were teaching. So we start 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're only going to do 6 verses this morning, 2 through 7. And so we start in verses 2 and 3, where the Bible says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Back in this day, when you wrote letters, it was customary at the very beginning to identify who was writing and who you were writing to. And so in verse 1, which is not part of our lesson this morning, Paul identifies himself as the sender of the letter, and he identifies those that in the church at Corinth as the recipients of the letter. Corinth was a city of about 500,000 people. It was a major cultural and economic center that existed between Europe and Asia. Also back in this day, people that wrote letters at the beginning of the letter would wish the people they were writing to health and welfare. In other words, they desired that their health was good and that their welfare was good. Paul followed this pattern by using the words grace and peace. They're in verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father. And again, since Paul, usually when he wrote letters, he wrote to both Gentiles and Jews. His letters, for the most part, except for a few, are directed to churches. Churches that he had started. Churches that had both Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians in them. And so when he wrote letters, he tried to address both groups. The word grace is a typical Gentile greeting. The word peace is a typical Jewish greeting. And again, they were more than just words. I mean, Paul was just was doing more than just following the pattern of letter writing back in that day. His use of the words grace and peace, when you put those together, they call to mind, or they describe everything that a person has when they're in a right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul, at the beginning of his letters, wanted to remind the Corinthians what they had in Christ. Grace, undeserved kindness, and forgiveness. It saves us from sin. It allows us to become a member of God's family. But grace also includes ongoing strength. It's only by the grace of God that we can live the life that God wants us to live as a Christian. We don't need to do it in our own strength. We don't need to do it on our own abilities. We can depend on God's grace, his unmerited favor, to give us what we need every day to be the kind of Christians that he wants us to be. Now, peace, and again, I said that was usually the Hebrew, the Jewish greeting. In the Old Testament, the word is shalom. The Jewish word for peace, shalom, has a deeper meaning than our English word. In English, we usually think of peace as, you know, no conflict. And so we're at peace when, you know, there's no warfare between us and anybody else. But in the Jewish use of the word, it implied more. It implied a wholeness to life. It implied prosperity. It implied more than just the absence of conflict. In the New Testament, when the New Testament talks about peace, for the most part, it talks about peace with God, the greatest peace that a person could have. No longer are we enemies of God. And we have the Holy Spirit. Part of God lives in us and brings us that inner assurance, that inner peace, that regardless of what is going on around us, regardless of the circumstances that our life is enmeshed in, we can have peace because we have the assurance that God is with us and that he's going to give us whatever we need to endure, to withstand, to take whatever he allows to come into our life. And Paul points out in that second verse that both grace and peace come from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people look at God and they say, he's a vengeful God. He's just up there in heaven and he's looking down to see who messes up, and then he zaps them. Then he gets them. And a lot of people think that that's how God is. Paul didn't present God as a vengeful God. Now, God's going to punish sin. And he be sure your sin will find you out, and the wages of sin is death. But God's not in heaven looking to see who messes up so that he can get them. Paul says, hey, God's our Father. He's our heavenly Father. He's merciful. He's forgiving. He gives us grace so that we can obtain that forgiveness. He gives us grace so that we can obtain eternal life. And we experience this life, again, not through what we do, but through what Jesus did for us on Calvary. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then there in verse 3, Paul, after he says, offers grace and peace to everybody and reminds us that it comes from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, he blesses God. He said, blessed be God, there in verse 3. In other words, God is worthy of our praise. We need to give our praise to God. We need to give our commendation to God. That word blessed comes from the Greek word eulogia, where we get our word eulogy from. And so when we think of the word eulogy, we think of somebody that speaks well on somebody's behalf, usually at their funeral. Well, Paul said, blessed be God. God is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of every accolation that we can give him. Now, in verses 2 and 3, God is called Father three times, and Jesus is called Lord twice. When Paul calls God our Heavenly Father, he reminds us of some things. He reminds us, first of all, that God is Creator. He's the source of all life. Nothing exists apart from God. Nothing exists in this world apart from God. And all those who he is father to, in other words, all those that are part of his family, have been joined together. And as part of his family, he provides and protects. Okay? Now, again, and I know everybody didn't have the right kind of dad, but most of us did. We had a father that loved us. We had a father that protected us. We had a father that provided for us. And God uses the picture of fathers, Paul uses the pictures of fathers and say, that's what God's like. He's like our father. He loves us. And he will take care of us. And he will protect us and provide for us. So, just like in the human family, when we have a father, we acknowledge his authority. And if we want to get along with our dad, as most of us found out, we need to be obedient. Because if we're not obedient, there were repercussions. If you had the right kind of dad, he made you toe the line. And if you got out line, he administered punishment to keep you in line. And again, he did that because he loves us. And so does God. He does the same thing. So, he's our Heavenly Father. Paul also points out he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus called God Father. Jesus encouraged those that believed on him and followed him to call God their Father. In fact, the coming of Christ to earth was God the Father's idea. It originated with him. Jesus said oftentimes when he was here, I have not come to do my own will. I have come to do my Father's will. I am under his authority. And I've come to do what he's wanted me to do. I've come to accomplish his purpose. We were talking about it. Leo gave our devotion in the men's breakfast yesterday. And he referenced John chapter 14, verse 6, where Philip said to Jesus, he said, Master, show us the Father. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you this long? Don't you understand? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so everything that Jesus said and did while he was here bore witness to the Father, bore witness to our Heavenly Father. And so when Paul says, hey, God's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was talking about that relationship that Jesus had with God. And Paul also said that he's the Father of mercies, Father of mercies. The word mercy means pity or compassion. It's a word that refers to feelings, but it's also a word that refers to actions that those feelings result in. And so God not only feels for us, but those feelings end up in action as God acts in a compassionate way toward us. And then he's called the Father of Mercies. Okay? Every expression of mercy comes from God. He's the source of all mercies. And then Paul also identifies him as the God of all comfort. That word comes from the Greek word paraklesis, which means to come alongside and encourage and strengthen. Jesus used that same Greek word when he was talking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is that part of God that comes along beside us to encourage us and strengthen us. And various forms of that word, that Greek word, is found 10 times in verses 3 through 7. Okay? So God is the God of all comfort. Now, you put comfort and mercy together, and Paul's painting a picture of how God responds to his children, especially in the time of our hurt. He says, okay, so here's what Paul's saying. When we hurt, God feels our hurt. Now just stop and think about that. When we hurt, regardless of what the hurt is, God feels it. A lot of time I've said to people that we're going through a hard time, I know how you feel. In some cases, I could say that truthfully. In other cases, I was probably stretching it a little bit. Because even though I could understand their circumstances, it's circumstances that I had never been involved in myself, and I really, truly did not know how they feel. But God feels for us. He knows when we hurt. He knows how we feel when we hurt. His feeling leads to actions. He doesn't just have an emotion. Those emotions lead God to do something. And what he does is that he provides us comfort and he provides us encouragement. That's the reason Paul said, blessed be God. He said, I praise God because I've been through those times of trouble. I felt that God knows what I feel, and I've seen him act. I've seen him take action out of that compassion, and he has comforted me. And so he says, I praise God. I praise God. He's the source of all mercy. He's the source of all comfort. He's the source of all encouragement. He's the source of all strength all the time, in the good times and especially at the bad times. Now, again, I mentioned Paul refers to Jesus as Lord twice. That word Lord means supreme authority. It means somebody whom a person belongs to. It means master. And so, Jesus Christ, Lord. Jesus, our Savior. Christ, God's anointed. Lord, God incarnate, the ultimate authority, the one that we owe our obedience to. All right, let's move on to verses 4 and 5. Again, now Paul's just talked about the God of all mercies, the God of comfort. He says, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Now, aren't you glad for those little words in the Bible? Aren't you glad for that little three-letter word, all? Aren't you glad that it says in all our tribulations? Not just the big ones, not just the ones that break our heart, but all of them. All our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Again, a little three-letter word. Any trouble. Paul's saying, God comforts us in all of our tribulations, which allows us to be a comfort to them that are in any kind of trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Now, you go back to early in the New Testament. When God's, go back to the when he called Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. God promised to be a blessing to Abraham and to his descendants. And he says, I'm going to be a blessing to you so that you can be a blessing to others. Through you, the whole earth is going to be blessed. Well, that's what God does to all of his children. He blesses us, and it's not just about us. When God blesses us, he first of all wants to bring glory to himself. And again, as we receive the blessings from God, we ought to, you know, bless him just like Paul did. We ought to offer up our praise. We ought to offer, you know, hold him up. So it's to bring glory to him. But he blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. And the author used, he used the illustration. Some people take the blessings of God as a container. They fill their container up. And when the container's full, God says, well, you're full. I can't give you anything else. Others are like a pipe. The blessings of God flow in. Blessings to others flow out the other end. Because the pipe is always flowing, God is able to pour more blessings in to the top of the pipe, so to speak, because they're coming out the other end. Anybody ever stick a potato in your tailpipe? What happens? Huh? Not lately, no. But what happens when you cut off the exhaust? Huh? The engine stops. I mean, you know, the gas flows in, the exhaust's got to flow out. And if the exhaust don't flow out, the gas stops flowing in and it stops. Well, it's the same thing. When we plug the pipe and we decide, well, I'm not going to be a blessing to other people, then God says, well, if you're not going to let the blessings out, pretty soon you're going to be full and I don't have room to put any more. And God doesn't waste his blessings. I mean, he'll bless and bless and bless and bless. He'll bless beyond measure. I mean, I have not seen, I know this verse talks about heaven for the most part, but I think it talks about the ongoing blessings that God gives to us. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's hard for us to imagine how much God has blessed us. But he says, I'm blessing you, not just to bless you, I'm blessing so that you can be a blessing to others. So you keep them flowing. Unplug the pipe. Be a blessing to others so that I can keep blessing you. So Paul says there in verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Now that word tribulation comes from a Greek word which means to press upon. To press upon. So we would use words like pressure or oppression, distress, affliction, or troubles. Now, again, from Paul's standpoint, he says, I have experienced this personally. Now, again, Paul was, at this particular time, he was being persecuted. He was being, he had pressure coming on him because he was a preacher of the gospel. I mean, he had these personal attacks from these false teachers that were, you know, denying his apostleship and said, boy, if he was really an apostle, God wouldn't let all these troubles come into his life. And later on in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul lists some of those troubles. I mean, I've been beaten. I've been stoned and left for dead. I've been shipwrecked. And besides this, the care of all the churches that I have upon me. And so he knew what it was to have pressure in his life. There were physical things that happened to Paul because he was a preacher of the gospel. And I'm sure that he had a lot of internal anguish. I mean, he loved the people at Corinth. I mean, he started the church. He spent a year and a half preaching the word of God to them. And then for them to turn against him, for them to question his apostleship, I'm sure caused him a lot of internal anguish. And Paul says, look, I know the comfort of God. I have experienced this pressure in my life, and I've felt the comfort of God. The use of the word are, when it says, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we, is plural, but Paul was probably talking about himself. And remember, he didn't like that. We mentioned it last week. He didn't like to draw attention to himself. That's why he said, I knew a man about 13 years ago. I don't know if he was in the body or out of the body. But Paul was saying, look, I felt the comfort of God. Now, the use of the word are and we probably also encompasses ministry partners like Timothy and others who had also felt the distress in their life because they were preachers of the gospel and because they identified with Paul. They were associated with Paul. So whatever the circumstances, whoever he included, Paul says, I know what it is to have this tribulation in my life, but I also know the comfort from God that comes with it. He said, be able, and he says, I know the comfort. And that comfort has come so that I can be ready to share that comfort with them that are going through troubles themselves. Okay? That word trouble comes from the same Greek word as the word tribulation. So the comfort that Paul was able to give, and I mentioned this in open assembly a moment ago, it wasn't human comfort. It didn't find its origin in humanity. That comfort that Paul was able to give others because he'd been comforted was the comfort he got from God. God is the God of all comfort. Sometimes he extends that comfort to other people through his children, through us. But it's still God's comfort. He's the source of it. And so all glory, any credit, any fame that comes it needs to go back to him. Because again, we're just a pipe. We're just a pipe. I mean, I don't pay my pipes for my water. I paid a water company. Well, that's not really true because I have a well. I don't pay the water company for water, but you that have city water, you don't pay your pipes for the water. You don't give credit to the pipes for providing the water. You pay the water company for the water. Well, we're just pipes. The comfort that God sends through us doesn't originate with us. It originates with him. We wouldn't know how to give it on our own. We only give it as it comes through us. So he says in verse 5, the sufferings of Christ abound in us. That word suffering, hardships, affliction, that which we're compelled to endure. We would not choose to endure it, but we're compelled to endure it. And again, that word doesn't differ much from tribulation and trouble in verse 4. The sufferings of Christ abound in us. In other words, they go beyond measure. They overflow. We have them in abundance. And again, Paul was talking about those sufferings come because he was a Christian. He was preaching the gospel. He was representing Christ as Jesus called him to do on the road to Damascus. He says, the sufferings in Christ, the sufferings of Christ abound in us. But he says, our consolation, again, comes from the same word as comfort, also abound by Christ. Okay? In other words, the more trouble, the more comfort. The more hardships, the more we feel the Holy Spirit running beside us, encouraging us, strengthening us. And what Paul's saying, hey, the sufferings that come because I'm serving Christ are more than outweighed, are more than made up for by the consolation that comes with them. And what Paul was saying is sort of like he was saying last week when he said, hey, I asked God to remove this thorn three times, and three times God said no, and so I will glory in having this infirmity because when I'm weak, I'm strong. What Paul's saying this week, hey, I'm not going to shy away from hardships. I'm not going to shy away from trouble because when trouble overflows my life, then the comforts of God overflow my life. And Paul says, I like the comforts of God. I like the consolation of God. All right, let's go on to the last two verses, verses 6 and 7. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, sufferings, so shall ye also of the consolation. Now, again, Paul has said God's the source of all comfort. Those that have been comforted by God become channels of his comfort to others. Now Paul talks about how he has modeled those truths for the Corinthians. Okay? Now, Paul's opponents had come into the church. As they built themselves up, they tore Paul down. He had been afflicted. Okay? He had suffered as a result of those false teachers tearing him down. He had suffered as the Corinthians believed him. And again, they said, if Paul was really an apostle, if he was really called and sent by God, all these things would not be in his life. These sufferings would not be in his life. Now again, I mentioned in open assembly, that's the same attitude that Job's friends had, same attitude that people have today that say bad things don't happen to good people. Paul said, listen, that's not true. He says, if we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now again, Paul's not saying that we're saved because of suffering. What he's saying is that comfort, encouragement, and strength come in the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And no matter which, in suffering or through extending comfort, Paul says, I believe that the Lord has used me to bring others to Christ. I'm your example. As I have suffered, I've been comforted. I've comforted you. And through that comfort, I have brought you, through my example, I have brought you not only to salvation from sin, but I have been the channel that God has used to bring comfort into your life. And Paul was he was strengthened by knowing that that had happened, that God had used him to see other people saved and to see other people comforted. And so he says, he said there in verse 6, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Paul says the same thing is going to work in your life. As you endure those sufferings, as you enjoy the consolation that, and again, when he said same sufferings, he's not saying to the Corinthians that, hey, you're going to suffer the identical things that I suffer. But he's saying you're going to suffer things that are like what I'm suffering. They're not going to be identical, but they're going to be similar. And the same thing is going to happen in your life. It's going to be effectual. It's going to work in your life. As you undergo the sufferings, you're going to find the comfort of God. You're going to see that he runs along beside you. He strengthens you. He encourages you. And so he is going to comfort you. And sometimes that's going to be through me, or it's going to be through other Christians, Paul says. And you're going to see it work in your life, because you're going to get to the point where now you can be a comfort to others. You can extend that same comfort to other people. And Paul says, I know that's what's going to happen. Now, Paul, like we, know that sometimes people react different to suffering. Sometimes people, when they suffer, quit. Other people, when they suffer, face it and go on. Paul says, our hope of you is steadfast. I am confident that you're going to endure the sufferings, you're going to feel the comfort of God, and you're going to be steadfast. You're not going to quit. You're going to be steadfast, and you're going to go on, and you are going to be a comfort to others. He says, we are bound together as partakers of the sufferings and also of the consolation. We are bound together because we both suffered and because we've both felt the consolation of God. And again, Paul's confidence in the Corinthians was not based on their ability. It was not based on their strength, the strength of their spirituality. It was based on what God had done in Paul's life and what Paul knew that he could do in the life of the Corinthians. And again, he was saying, hey, I'm your example. I'm your model. I've suffered. I've been consoled by God. You've seen that. Now you're going to suffer. God's going to use me to comfort you so that you can see that it works, so you can go out and comfort somebody else. And Paul says, hey, that's what the Christian life is about. It's letting God bless us and let that blessings flow. And so again, Paul wrote the book of 2 Corinthians to help believers see suffering in a new light. It's to help them to see that sometimes it comes, even to good people. But that when it comes, in proportion to the suffering, comes the comfort of God. When sufferings overflow, the comfort of God overflows. When troubles come, the consolation of God comes. And we can be grateful as God's children that's the way he works. All right. So I got for this morning. Thank you for being here. Now I want you to notice I'm letting you out 4 minutes early. This doesn't happen very often. Okay? I'm going to give you 4 more minutes to fellowship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today, for your word. Thank you for the reminder and the truth that it teaches us. And I pray that when suffering and trials come, we would realize those are the times that you make yourself known and you provide us what we need to endure. Help us to be a comfort to others as you have comforted us. Pray you'll go with us in the service that follows as we lift up Christ. If there's those here that have never received them, help them today to make that decision to receive Christ. And then, Father, help us to realize that Jesus has done everything that needs to be done for us to be justified, for our sins to be forgiven. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.